Lashiel appeared between me and the table in her usual white tunic, her red hair pulled back into a tight braid. She held up both hands and said quietly, "I cannot permit you to do this." "You," I said in a quiet, distant voice, "are almost as annoying as a sudden phone call." "This is pointless," she said. "My host, I beg you to reconsider."
"I don't have time for you," I said. "I have a job to do."
"A job?" she asked.
"Evading your responsibilities, you mean?"
I tilted my head slightly. In my current mental state, the emotions I felt seemed infinitely far away and all but inconsequential.
"How so?"
"Look at yourself," she replied, her voice that low, quiet, reasonable tone one uses around madmen and ugly drunks. "Listen to yourself. You're tired. You're injured. You're racked by guilt. You're frightened. You will destroy yourself."
"And you with me?" I asked her.
"Correct," she said. "I do not fear the end of my existence, my host, but I would not be extinguished by one too self-deluded to understand what he was about."
"I'm not deluded," I said.
"But you are. You know that this effort shall probably kill you. And once it has done so, you will be free from any onus of what happened to the girl. After all, you heroically died in the effort to find her and retrieve her. You won't have to attend her funeral. You won't have to explain yourself to Michael. You won't have to tell her parents that their daughter is dead because of your incompetence." I did not reply. The emotions grew a little closer. "This isn't anything more than an elaborate form of suicide, chosen during a moment of weakness," Lashiel said. "I do not wish to see you destroy yourself, my host."
I stared at her. I thought about it. She might be right. It didn't matter. "Move," I murmured, "before I move you." Then I paused and said, "Wait a minute, what am I thinking? It isn't as though you can stop me." Then I simply stepped through Lashiel's image to the table and reached for the white envelope. The white envelope began to spin in place on the table and abruptly became dozens of envelopes, each identical, each whirling like a pinwheel.
"But I can," Lashiel said quietly. I looked up to find her standing on the opposite side of the table from me. I witnessed the birth of time itself. I watched the mortal coil spring forth from perfect darkness. I watched the stars form, watched this world coalesce, watched as life was breathed into it and as your kind rose to rule it. She put both hands on the table and leaned toward me, her blue eyes cold and hard. "Thus far, I have behaved as a guest ought. But do not mistake propriety for weakness, mortal. I beg you not to oblige me to take further action." I narrowed my eyes and reached for my sight. Before I could use it, my left hand exploded into flame. Pain, pain, pain. Fire, scorching, parboiling my hand as I tried to hold it back with my shield bracelet. The memory of my injury in that vampire-haunted basement came rushing back to me in THX, and my nerve endings were listening. I fought down a scream, breathing, my teeth snapping together so suddenly and sharply that a fleck of one of my molars chipped away. "It was an illusion," I told myself. "A memory. It's a ghost, nothing more. It cannot harm you if you do not allow it to do so." I pushed hard against that memory, turning the focus of my will against it. I felt the illusion memory wobble, and then the pain was gone. The fire out. My body pumped endorphins into my bloodstream a heartbeat later, and I drifted on them as my focus started to collapse. I leaned hard against the table, my left hand held close to my chest in pure reflex, my right supporting my weight. I turned my attention to the envelopes and forced my will against them until the illusion grew translucent. I picked up the real envelope. Lashiel regarded me steadily, her beautiful face unyielding, determined.
Sooner or later, I'll push through anything you throw, I panted. You know that.
Yes, she said, but you will not be able to focus on the divination until you're quit of me. I may force you to exhaust yourself resisting me, in which case you will not attempt the divination. Even if I only delay you until dawn, there will be no need for you to attempt it. She lifted her chin. Whatever happens, the divination will not be successful. I let out a low chuckle, which made Lashiel frown at me.
You missed it, I said.
Missed what?
The loophole. I could kill myself trying it while you rock the boat. And after all, this entire exercise is nothing more than a suicide attempt in any case. When I go through with it.
Her jaw clenched. You would murder yourself rather than yield to reason?
More manslaughter than murder, I'd say.
You're mad, the fallen angel said.
Give me some Alka-Seltzer and I'll foam at the mouth, too.
This time, I hit Lashiel with the hard look. There's a child out there who needs me. I'd rather die than let her down. I'm doing the spell, period. So fuck off.